Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
George, we just had a very big moment on the show. We inducted Michael Wilbon as the fourth inductee into the Tool of the Week Hall of Fame. What do you make of that? Do you think that it's deserving? Do you think it's an honor that he'll be very proud of?
I think you're very disrespectful. You're not respecting your elders. Michael Wilbon is a pillar of the journalistic community, and you, Zaslow, particularly, are a rabble rouser. That's what you are.
I'm just that ESPN paycheck talking.
Yeah,
look, I'm not the one who votes. Okay, like, he was nominated, and then the committee, which is a committee of one, the committee then inducted him into the Hall of Fame. So you may think that it's my doing, but it is not. Okay, there is a process here, George.
It's Tobin's.
Yeah, you sound like LeBron at the end of the season when they get eliminated, and you know he's going to sit there and talk about how he doesn't have enough help. And that's why he has to leave. You're going to blame everyone else when really you are at the core of the problem.
Was last night the perfect explanation as to why LeBron is leaving the Cavaliers next month?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, look, we've seen this thing all season, right? Like, we knew this thing was a poo-poo platter out there in Cleveland. You know, Kevin Love, at this stage of his career, at least playing with LeBron, he's not even close to being the same guy he was a year or two ago. It's just strange how, and I know injuries have played a factor, but it's strange how much he's regressed playing with LeBron. And the funny part is, right, everyone made fun of Chris Bosh when Chris Bosh said, hey, man, it's tough to play with LeBron. It's not as easy as you think. It's going to be a lot harder than you think. And everyone was like, oh, he's just, you know, it's just sour grapes. He doesn't know what he's talking about, yada, yada, yada. Well, look, here's Kevin Love. And then you look at the rest of that roster, right? Like, they didn't get enough for Kyrie, clearly. They didn't have to trade Kyrie, clearly. And a lot of that is LeBron. So as great as LeBron is, and as good as he can make guys most of the time on the court, you know, as good as he can make guys around him on the court better most of the time, man, like he self-destructs a franchise in a lot of ways because of his lack of commitment and his unwillingness to work with a franchise. And this is the culmination of all of that.
Now, I understand, you know, I give Cleveland credit for trying to do something at the trade deadline. They had to do something. The team was in a bad way. They had a bunch of guys who were giving them absolutely nothing, and they got rid of them. But, you know, we can look back now. We can give a grade to that trade, okay, and we look at Rodney Hood, and we look at Jordan Clarkson, and we look at George Hill, and we look at Larry Nance, and it's like, George, that trade gets an F, right?
Yeah, no question. Listen. When they traded for Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson, I mean, I'm in Los Angeles. I see that those guys, or I saw those guys every day. Like, they're okay players. They're not even great players or good players on a young team that wasn't going to be 500. There's no way in hell they were going to help LeBron. I mean, Jordan Clarkson is a poor man's Mario Chalmers, and Larry Nance is a player who, you know, he gives you a little bit of energy here and there occasionally, but he doesn't have a real skill set in the NBA outside of, okay, he hustles, right? Like, I guess there's always a place for that guy, but those guys weren't going to make an impact. And the Utah Jazz were clearly better without Rodney Hood. Now, some of that may have coincided with Rudy Gobert's injury, but if you just look at the totality of when he was there, it didn't make sense. So you have this rookie GM and Kobe Altman out in Cleveland making these decisions, and clearly, you're right, it got an F, and it gets an F, and even at the time, people over-exaggerated their impact just because, you know, we do this thing where, oh, after two games, oh, my God, it's the greatest thing. And clearly it wasn't. That's why you have to give it a representative sample size. And if you look at the representative sample size of these guys' careers, this is more representative of who they are.
So, George, being out there in the West Coast, you get to see what's going on with Golden State and how all of these superstars can basically gel together. But we're seeing samples everywhere else throughout the country. You're seeing what's going on in OKC, where Russell Westbrook, the superstar, nobody can play with him. Kawhi Leonard doesn't want any part of the Spurs organization or his teammates anymore. And now LeBron is falling into that same category. So what way is the NBA going to go now in terms of paying these max superstar contracts and trying to build these teams when you have a formula established right now in Golden State?
Well, listen, I think because of what Golden State has, you are going to have to try to find a way to build a super team. Now, there's going to be cap restrictions to that, and not everyone's going to be willing to take less like they did in Miami a number of years ago, and obviously what Durant did at Golden State. So I think the model is Boston, basically. Now, you have to get lucky with Boston, okay? Basically, Prokhorov and Billy King just gave them a ton of picks for a broken down Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. So there's some luck involved, but Danny Ainge hit on those picks. And then you have to use your cap space on the right players. And hell, we haven't even seen the players that he's acquired either via trade or with cap space. But that's the way you have to build a franchise. Or you go the other route with Philly and you tank and you hope, right, that you hit on some guys. But you have to build a young core. If you don't build a young core, you're never going to win. And the Warriors did that. They built the young core with Steph and Clay particularly. You know, Draymond developed later after Mark Jackson was gone. And then they added Kevin Durant, after the fact. So, yeah, like you have to build a core, a young core, and augment through free agency. To me, it's no different than the NFL right now.
We got George Sedano here. I want you to give me some thoughts here on tonight, on Rockets and Warriors, because I don't know what you felt going into this series. I felt, though, that this is going to be a short series, that Golden State's going to roll them. I obviously still feel that way after just one game. And I look at the difference between these two teams in game number one, and you got the Rockets with the ISO ball. You got Golden State, who just plays beautiful basketball, where Steve Kerr wants 300 passes, okay, in a game. Anyone can be the guy who scores over there. And on the Rockets side, you know, the ISO ball, when you got two great ISO players, okay, in Harden and Paul, the ISO ball can work fantastic over 82 games, mostly against inferior competition. And then when you're playing the Warriors every single night, you got no chance. Give me some thoughts.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you 100%. And here's the crazy part. So during the regular season, the Rockets averaged 22 isolation plays a game. You know, and they averaged about, 85, 90 possessions a game for the most part, right? Which, that's still a decent chunk, right? That's about 20% of your plays. In game one, they had 45 isolation plays. The Warriors forced them into that. They basically said, okay, we're going to guard your great isolation players one-on-one. We're going to switch on everything, much like the Rockets switch on everything on defense, which, by the way, gave the Warriors all sorts of fits during the regular season. So Steve Kerr and Mike Brown took a page out of the Rockets' defensive playbook, and Jeff Bezdelic, who, if you don't know, you guys know, but the audience may not know, is part of that Pat Riley tree defensively. His schemes are very similar to what the Heat have done in the past. But what they did was they took a page out of Jeff Bezdelic's book and turned it against them. They basically said, all right, we're going to guard your shooters and let you guys go one-on-one, and fine, we'll take you guys going one-on-one more than you normally do, because by the end of the game, you're going to be gassed. And that worked defensively. So as great as the Warriors are offensively, defensively is where they won that game.
Now, George, you were part of the Miami family for a very long time, of course, so you're very familiar with our friend Jonathan Zaslow here. You're also very familiar with Mike Ryan.
I know his work.
I don't know if you've heard Mike Ryan do the Zaslow impression, but I want to play it for you, and then you have to rate. This is his latest one. This is from yesterday.
Zaslow doesn't think sounds anything like him.
So Zaslow's denying this sounds like him. We think this is dead on, so let's play it for you and get your thoughts.
I'd like to hear what it would sound like if... If Zaslow was threatening me.
You want to fight me? Huh? Stu Gatz wants to fight me. Let me tell you something. You tough guy? Huh? Look at me. Look at me. Tough guy? Huh? See this fist? Here? Fist sandwich right to your face.
It needs some work. Let's be honest, George. It needs a little bit of work.
It needs a little work. Let's be honest, George.
I gotta tell you, Zaslow, it's pretty good. Awesome.
Be awesome.
All right. Enough of you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.